Friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. God's word again from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke on the parable of the dishonest manager. He also said to his disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. This is God's word. Please be seated. An American stockbroker, 20, 25 years ago or so, came up with a very enterprising idea with $5,000 of his own money that he had earned as a lifeguard and as a sprinkler installer. He established a wealth management company, a securities management company, that was destined to become just hugely successful. This man was getting returns for his clients' investments that no other investment management company was getting. He was considered to be an investment genius. His clients were reaping huge dividends by their investments with him. He was outperforming the stock and the bond markets by a long shot. And to invest with this man was considered the height of shrewdness. And then there was the U.S. housing boom of, 2002 to 2006 or so. Easy credit was being given out to all kinds of people through these adjustable rate mortgages. And they were told that they could get these low initial rates. There was no money down or very little money down. And the housing values, the real estate's always going to appreciate in value, so it's a safe bet. So with a commoner's salary, you can live in a king's palace. And people jumped into these mortgages by the millions. Oh, it was all so shrewd. Shrewd is the word that Jesus uses of this manager in his parable. This manager, he had stolen or squandered his master's money, and he had gotten caught at it. But this is where the master makes a really big mistake. His kindness is going to cost him a lot of money. Instead of firing his manager summarily, he apparently tells him, as of such and such a date, you will no longer be working for me. He gives him a little bit of time. He's being kind to this manager, dishonest though he was, but he was being kind to him so that he could transition from this job into whatever life lay ahead of him. But this manager took advantage of his master's kindness, and with the time and the authority that he still had, he decided to secure his future at his master's expense. And so one by one, he calls in his master's debtors. He asks them, how much do you owe? Well, take that bill and reduce it. Discount it. And the thinking was that if I do this for these people, when I'm out of a job, they're going to take good care of me. And what could the master do but to commend this dishonest manager for what he had done, for his shrewdness? The manager hadn't done anything illegal. He was only exercising the authority that the master himself had given to him, allowed him to have. Oh, that was shrewd. That was brutally shrewd. Jesus calls this manager and other people like him the children of this world. They are wily and cunning and streetwise and ingenious when it comes to getting what they want. They are shrewd. Theirs is the stuff of negotiating, of the end justifying the means, of getting whatever it is they want, doing whatever is necessary to get what they want, getting the best deal possible. And that is the shrewdness that Jesus commends to us, that savvy ability to use your money to get what you want in life. The only question is, what do you want in life? That's the question that we all struggle with mightily, especially in a world that's constantly telling us that happiness means having more than you currently have. And if that's what you want in life, then you know what to do with your money. Get over to Walmart or the mall or the golf shop or the car dealership and get more. I remember after my dad was diagnosed with terminal cancer, he was given just a short time to live. And we began to have conversations about how to dispose of his estate, his money, and financial matters, those kinds of things. And he told us, when we were all gathered together, he told us to get a piece of paper and to write down on that paper what each of us wanted from his home. "I'm not going to need these things," he said. "Use them, and use them well." And I just remember how sad it made me feel. To think of him letting go of these things that he had been accumulating during his lifetime. But I also remember thinking how much sadder it is for all the people in the world for whom money and what money buys is all they want in life. How sad for those who consider themselves to be shrewd if they die with more toys than everybody else. But eventually, we all have to let go of whatever it is we are clinging to, no matter how hard we worked to get it. Jesus says, when your money fails, not if it fails, when it fails, it will fail you. You do have to let go one day. And then, who are the shrewd ones? And here our Lord's parable confronts us with a burning question. There are two kinds of people in the world. There are the children of this world whose primary want is to get as big a slice of this world as they possibly can. And then there are the children of the light whose wants really have nothing to do with money and the things of the world. And the question is, which one are you? Yeah, the children of this world are indeed very shrewd and savvy when it comes to using their money to get what they want. But this parable suggests that in the light of Jesus Christ, there is a kind of shrewdness that is so shrewd that even the children of this world can't begin to understand it. And the shrewdness that Jesus would teach us is this: that you let go of your love affair with money, which is going to fail you one day and will be pried out of your hands. You cannot serve both God and your money. And that you value Christ above all else as your priceless treasure. He treasured you so much that He came and He lived. And He suffered, and He died, and He rose for you. It was a shrewd plan on the part of God to get what He wanted. Namely, to get you. You're what He wanted. But He couldn't just overlook your sin. That wouldn't be fair or just. But what if He could Himself bear that sin and take it away from you and pay its price? Then He could reclaim you by the forgiveness of your sins. And so He did. When He bought you at the cross, not with gold or silver, not with unrighteous wealth, not with the same little coins and pieces of paper that we use to buy toothpaste and cars and houses. No amount of money could ever purchase even a single soul. He bought you with His blood, with His suffering, with his death. He didn't just discount your bill, he paid it in full. Paid that debt of sin and bought you an inheritance of treasures that will never fade or spoil, that are being kept in heaven for you even as we speak. So now who's shrewd? In December 2008, that wealth manager that I told you about earlier could no longer hide the truth about what he had been doing. And he admitted to his sons that his investment management company all those years had actually been a massive Ponzi scheme. He was paying returns to his investors not from any actual profits that he was making in the market, but he was paying them from money that he was receiving from subsequent investors. And of course, the whole time he was also paying himself these massive sums of money, until the whole scheme fell in on itself and unraveled when there were no longer enough investors at the bottom of the scheme to pay those who were at the top. Anyone recognize the name of Bernie Madoff? Man, was there ever a better name for a crook than Madoff? He made off with some $36 billion that people had invested with him. All those thousands of people and their retirement accounts and their investments and their endowments and their foundations and their businesses all invested this money with him, and they thought they were being so shrewd. And they lost everything. Money will fail you. So how shrewd were they really? And how shrewd is he who now rots in prison? And as far as all that easy credit, the lure of easy money through all those adjustable rate mortgages, it was all so shrewd until the rates adjusted up and property values went down and people couldn't make their payments anymore and their mortgages went underwater and the whole thing just broke down. The bubble burst. And all of a sudden that shrewdness didn't seem so shrewd anymore. And as far as the manager in this parable, our Lord does not finish the story, so we can only guess. But best case scenario, his grateful friends took care of him for the rest of his life in gratitude for his having reduced their debt. And he enjoyed good things in this world, but in his death he still had to let go of it. And everything that his shrewdness had gotten him suddenly failed him. And if that's all he ever pursued, how shrewd was he really, who gained the world but lost his soul? Christ teaches us that sooner or later, that's the way it always is with money and the things that money buys. It will always fail you in the end. When it fails you. Did you hear those words? Not if it fails you, when it fails you. And it will fail you, if not in this life, if you're lucky enough to hold on to it throughout all your life, it will fail you in death. So if you want to be shrewd in the use of your money, forget about what it buys in this world. Yeah, use your money to purchase what you need. That is God's plan for money, and that's good and godly. But use it also to gain friends for you and for Christ, that you and they may be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now that is the shrewd stewardship of money. Imagine that. We can use unrighteous wealth for the very righteous purpose of making friends for Jesus Christ, who, if they precede us in death, will one day welcome us into eternal habitations and say to us, "Thank you for spending your money to help make me a friend of Jesus." You can't spend your money in a more shrewd way than that. By your support of missions and of the gospel and sacrament ministry, and by your charity in the name of Jesus, you will make the only investment that has eternal returns. As Jesus says, One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. If you are faithful in this life with the little bit that God has given you, can you imagine what He is going to give to you in the eternal habitations, eternal treasures at His right hand, entrusted to you? It's not that we have to prove to God that we deserve eternal riches. We can't prove that. We can't earn them. That's why He bought those riches for us in the greatest exchange that ever took place, His life for our salvation. Being shrewd by using your money to win friends for Jesus is the way that you show Jesus just how much you treasure Him and how much you value the riches that He died to give you. You know, I guess it all comes down to what you want in life. If what you want is a bigger slice of this world, all right, go for it. That's what you'll get, and that's all you'll get, until even that is ripped out of your hands one day. But if what you want is eternal treasure, and you want friends with you in heaven, get your money invested there, and you will not believe the returns. So now, who's shrewd? In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.